And we bless, Lord, our guest speaker tonight, Brother Art Escalera, as he brings the word of God tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Brother Art. Bring us the word of the Lord tonight before we pray. You all can take your seats.
Welcome, fam. Glad you're all here tonight. Like I say, you guys, Pastor told me if I asked me if I could had something on my heart, and I did. I did have something on my heart. And she always says, you know, make sure it ties in with prayer, and everything always ties in with prayer, because there's nothing that we do or we ask of God without praying. I mean, I don't care what it is in your life that you need of the Lord. You have to talk to him, and that's praying, talking to him. So I'm going to be in Romans chapter 12 will be where I'll be mainly at. But I wanted to, like I said, and I've said it before for you guys, this is the gospel according to Art. And my thing is, I am not telling you anything that you don't already know or shouldn't already know. All we do as teachers, ministers, is we try to encourage. We encourage by our life experiences, what we've experienced in our life and what we've been going through. And the other day I was, in fact, this morning, and the other day, yesterday, I was looking through some pictures because I was cleaning out photos in my phone. And I was looking at the picture of my grandson, my great-grandson, Roman, little Roman, who was in a very bad car accident that left him paralyzed from his torso down. And I looked at the accident and I was like, wow, you know, there is a miracle of God, you know. And I'm sure if we all had the floor, every one of us could have something we could talk about and say that is God's done for us. But it just was making me very appreciative of the things God has done for me. And it was just like, how can you not thank a God or talk to a God that just does supernatural stuff? Now, it's not always according to our timing, and that's, I think, sometimes where we get discouraged, is because we're expecting it to be a popcorn-type prayer. We pray, God, should happen, Lord, because I prayed. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I'm faithful. Where's it at? And because it doesn't happen that way, we think God's not on it. He's not on the job. And he always is. He always is. And that's why, like, because I told Brother Rick that the message I was going to title it was A Measure of Faith. Because in Romans, in the third chapter, 12th chapter, third verse, he says in there, he's given to each of us a measure of faith. So that means you have your faith, I have mine, everybody has a measure. Now that measure can be increased, and I believe it's increased when God does things for you personally in your life. It just like, wow, you know, you get excited, he's doing it. So it steps up your faith, at least it should. It should always increase your faith. So I found faith is, there's 227 verses in the New Testament on faith, that speak of faith. 227 verses. In the Old Testament, there's only two. There's only two in the Old Testament. And of course, because Jesus was not there. But the faith, one of them was, they didn't get anything without faith. I'm paraphrasing. They didn't get in nothing. They didn't have anything because they didn't have faith to believe. And then he says, but my people will live on by faith. So it's so here we are in the New Testament, in a new time. And in Romans, there in the 12th chapter, verse 1. I want to start at verse 1. Verse 3 is the one I want to really key on, but I want to read the little whole thing. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Okay? Now, Lynn and I, we were talking, and I was, I kind of laughed because she said something that I had to write it down because it was funny. Because we were talking about when Jesus, he goes off to pray, and he tells his disciples, they go with him, they go pray, and they go away into the mountain. And he tells them, wait here for me 1 hour, you know, and pray. So he goes away, and he comes back, and he finds them asleep. He says, could you not wait 1 hour? And here we have prayer at Wednesday nights, and like Lynn said, at least people don't even come out at least on Wednesday night to fall asleep. I mean, if you fall asleep in here because you couldn't wait an hour, that's understandable because the disciples did. And I say that, we laughed only because it's sometimes we think that because we do what we do, that it's because we love the Lord, and we do love the Lord, but we think that it's because of that, our faith stepping out to do these things, that God should answer it. But God does it because simply because he loves you. Even if you didn't step out in that faith, he wants us to, but even if you didn't, he loves us. And he will do those things for us simply because of his love for us. Because see, I think sometimes, and I get devotional. I know, I hope everybody gets a devotional and has a devotional you read. But my devotional this morning was talking about a lot of times men and women of God, people of faith, sometimes kind of lose that luster and faith in God or believe God for it because of so many. I don't watch a lot of TV evangelist preachers anymore. I used to watch a lot of them, and I've kind of started to get away from it because there's just some of them, just some things are kind of ain't really rubbing right in my spirit about things and things that they talk about. So, and it's still the Word of God. The Word of God is will always go out and seek that and accomplish that it was sent out to do. So it's not a lack of the Word. It's just that we have to be careful. And I think that's what's damaged the church, the people of God, laymen, is because Paul in his days, Paul would preach, but he preached when he preached, he had signs and wonders following his preaching. So with Paul's preaching of the signs and wonders following him, it was easy to believe what he was saying, what the Word said, what Jesus said. And now today, we're supposed to be standing on this Word, you guys. The Word of God is it. That is the bottom line. That is it, is the Word of God. And we should be holding on to exactly what he says in his Word he will do. He will do it because he still is God. He still wants to perform miracles. He still wants to cast out demons. He still wants to heal the sick. He has not changed his agenda. He has not. But I believe sometimes we get so wrapped up in watching and seeing other pastors that kind of do things out of the wrong thing. And I don't want to go there because, like I say, God will judge them. My thing is that I think sometimes because they try to get you worked up on a miracle and you kind of then things don't work out. And it's kind of like, I know, we don't see those signs and wonders following the church. So we look at the church and we think because our pastor's not doing her job. She's doing exactly what she's called to do. Exactly. It's each one of us, the measure of faith that is given each one of us. Where are we at in our faith? Where are we at believing God for the miracle that we're seeking? It's easy to get somebody else to pray for you. In fact, it's funny. We can believe for miracles for other people. But when it comes for you believing a miracle for you, I don't know. I don't know if God would do it for me. You know, he's kind of busy. Oh, Pastor, I got the wrong one. But it's like, I said that because see, in the end, they were in the last days, guys. We know that. And just like the wine, the best wine is always saved for last. And the best of God, and not that anything, everything is the best with you, Lord, but the best is still yet to come. It's still yet to come. So please do not give up. Do not get weary in well-doing. Don't. I mean, it's because everybody, it's not a person in here that ain't going through stuff. Peggy, you know, Joanna, everybody, sister, you know, everybody, suffering losses or whatever. There's just a lot of stuff going on. I know Casey, my daughter, her mom's really sick, and, you know, there's a lot of stuff, okay? But you fight that fight. You keep pushing on because we know in the end who wins. And the thing is that where our faith will, our measure of faith will increase and it will grow. Now, I wanted to go more on it because, see, it goes down. If you read the whole chapter, you know, the Bible, the Word of God is just good. All of it's good to read. And it's like, Lord, I could go so many places. But I just want to just keep it here because, see, he goes down. He talks about verse 4, he goes, for as we have many members in the body, one of one members and men have not the same office, so many being of one body, one in Christ, and every one member of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, prophesy, it says according to your portion of faith or ministry and whatever. But it goes on at verse 12 down there. I love that. Go to 12, Gabby, please. And in verse 12 it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, but this, continuing in instant prayer. Continue instant in prayer. So you can, all these things are part of what our gifts are and what they're coming, but we it's consistent prayer. Now, I love the way, I was like, okay, I'm gonna look at this. The Message Bible, it's kind of pretty simple because the Message Bible's kind of a little direct, and I like it. I like the way, but the Message, it said in Romans 12, back up again to 1 and 3, but this is in the Message. He says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embrace what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fix it into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly responding to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Now verse 3, this is a good, because it puts us in check real quick. But it says, I'm speaking to you out of a deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. So I was blown away by Brother Mike on Sunday. And I'm sure a lot of you were, but what blew me away is because it was like I didn't see Brother Mike. I didn't see Brother Mike. What I saw was the gospel alive. I saw the gospel breathing, talking to me. To me. I'm just me. And when you see that, it's like that is exactly how this word is every single day and every time you pick it up and read it. It is breathing, it is alive, and it is speaking to you. Now, where we are, like I say, the measure of faith, where we are in that measure of faith, where we're at in our life and our walk and our journey, I don't know. God knows, and God is bringing you through that journey. This is why sometimes it's hard, because I try to practice what Pastor preaches. When she says, you know, you should be out and try to go out and do something kind, do something whatever, and I'm just using it as an example, then I'm going to, guess what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to try to do something good and be an example to somebody or something. Just like Pastor said, just like the Word says to us, for us to do. We should do it all automatically, but sometimes we get in our lazy mode. And being where I'm at, you know what I mean? I was, like I say, today I was just relaxing and I was looking through all those pictures and I was just seeing all these things and missing a lot of things. And so thankful to God to have had moments with all these things that I was looking at. I was looking at my brother and my dog, who's gone, you know, and stuff like this. And I look at all those things and I'm just like, God is good. And all these things were given to me just for my pleasure. I didn't need it. I mean, and I say I didn't need it. My brothers, you know what I mean? But it was all for my pleasure. And God kept them and through all this stuff. And I see family members of mine coming now to the Lord because, you know, God is just good. He's answering prayer. My niece gave her life to the Lord last weekend, 2 weekends ago. And it's like, you know, she's going through stuff, but she has to learn. And it's hard to sit there and watch your family go through the young baby stages of life, things you've already experienced, but you just have to let them walk it out. You want to jump in and say, well, I wouldn't do that. I'd cut this off and cut that off. I start doing it. And I tell her some things to a point, but then some things I just kind of back away. It's kind of like I talked with Gabby. We were at LaSalle's one day, and I was talking to Gabby. I pray for her daughter, and she prays for, and I asked her to pray for my daughters, you know, because they're living a different lifestyle. And it's like, because a lot of times we think about that stuff, and we want to jump in and interfere and try to tell them what they're doing, but they know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. But we know the God that we serve. Ain't that right, Gab? We know the God that we serve. We know that he doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. It's not late. He's always on time. I don't care what anybody says. He's always on time. It's just, and it's not your timing. I'm talking about his time. He's always on time. He's never, ever, ever late. And I thank him for that because my life is good. It is really good. My life is good. I am surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. I have wonderful people in my life, and it ain't because I'm such a good person. It's just God is good. He knows where to put us. He knows where we need to be. He directs us and guides us through everything. We have to learn to let go of things because we think sometimes, I can't do that. I can't do that. You can and you will, but I don't know when that season or that time will be for you to let it go. But sometimes we have to let it go. You know, I try to stay away from people that just are just constant. And I say constant because it's I don't know if they even know that they do what they do, because some people just don't know any better. I think it's because they're lonely or whatever it is, maybe the reason, but they always want to talk about something that really is irrelevant to what's really going on. You know, if you need prayer for something because you're hurting, you're sick or whatever, I'm glad to pray with you about anything. But then they always want to bring up stuff that I know a lot of people that do this. Then that's why I'm talking about it, because like my brother Robert, I try to encourage him. He's not been coming, and Pastor called me the other day and I was asking about him, and he's not in a good place right now. But that's because he doesn't want to let go of some of these things that he wants to hang on to. And you know, I just best way I can is just tell him, bro, you have to change those things, man. You have to let those things go. You can't. Can't keep dragging. If you're given the same result, something ought to tell you that you need to do something different. I mean, just common sense stuff. But I'm not even trying to bring up Christian stuff on them, because I tell them, I'm not even trying to bring up Christian stuff. I'm just trying to bring up common sense stuff. I don't want to be around anybody that's just negative or gloom and doom or constantly dragging at you and pulling at you. It's like, look, man, like Jesus says, you know, he feels the virtue leave out of him. We can feel the virtue leave out of us on people, but yet they don't. But the only problem is they don't take the healing. They just want to just keep draining and draining and just keep on, because it's like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is for them. But I tell my brother, I just try to encourage him and tell him, you know, you got to just look around you. I mean, you just have to look around you. Sometimes it's family, you guys. For us, me, it's my family, man. My family, they're bad. They're bad. I mean, I know y'all, but I don't know your family like that, you guys. But I know my family, man. They're bad. So I got, you know what I mean? I just got to stay away. And it's not that I don't love them. It's not at all that. Not at all. I agonize for them at times. You know, because I know in the end where everybody will be. I know those people. If you don't live for Jesus, you don't serve them, you're going to end up in hell, man. And I think, you know, that's missing a lot now too in the church, a lot of preaching hell and damnation, because that's what's going to happen. And it's going to happen. We have people here in the States. We have, you know, like Sheriff Boudreau was talking about, man. We got them already here. And it's just a time waiting. And I think it'll be the time, you know, where we get raptured. This is, like I say, this is a gospel according to Art, man. I just think we'll be raptured at that time. And then everything's just going to break out because there's not going to be any more presence of God to hold anything back. No more. Right now, because we are here gathered together as believers and we're going to pray, because we're here doing that together, that holds back the attack of the enemy, full attack. He still attacks, but the full attack that's coming, we're not going to be here for that, but the full attack that's coming, oh my Lord, we read what happens. We know what's going to happen. And I think sometimes we got to really understand is that it really is going to happen. And I think we don't look at it because we don't see it happening right here, right now, or whatever, but it is happening all over the world. I mean, there's just things going on that we just don't even know about. But because it's not in our world yet, we just think, oh, well, you know, I don't know. We got time. Time is so short. It's too precious to waste for foolishness.
And
I think it's just because, like I say, this is the season where the Lord has me, my wife and I at. You know, we're retired now, and it's like, we have more time, but it's like, you know, the body has been beaten down so bad that it's just, it's frustrating a lot for me because I can't do the things that I used to do, and I want to do a lot of stuff. And I go out and try to do it, and boy, I pay for it. And I think a lot of you here can relate. And then I can see you laughing. Says, because I think a lot of us can relate to it because it's just the bola, as we call it. You know what I mean? The Mexicans call it, we call it the bola, which is the ball. You know what I mean? The ball of life, you know, just the bola. You know, just the bola. Everything just balled up, you know, just balls up on you and you go through it. And, because God is good, you guys, this is what I want to bring. This is what I'm trying to bring here is that God is still God. He's still on the throne. He wants to do for us so bad, but we just have to increase our faith. And the thing is do a little inventory maybe if you can. I was looking through those pictures and I was looking at a lot of old pictures I was getting stuff. And I was just looking at how blessed I am. I looked back, I saw some pictures when I was a kid, man. I was like, oh, my Lord. To be to where I'm at today, it was a hell process to get here. And to be here is only because of the mercy and grace of God. You know, and I'm just thankful that, you know, I don't have a diploma. I didn't graduate. I'm not, like some people say, I'm not the brightest bulb in the tree. I'm dumb, but I ain't stupid. You know what I mean? And my thing is that I've learned through the hard school of knocks, you know what I mean? And it's like, now I look back and I see God. I see God in everything. Everything that was bad that happened that I can see in, again in my mind when I was arrested for a murder charge. When I look at that stuff, I look at it and I see God in God, you were there. You were there. I was looking at life in prison at 18. And there you were, God. And I didn't even know him. This is why I say he wants to do for us. It's not where we're at. It's who he is. You'll get there. If you faint not, you will get there. But it's who he is. He is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So I hope that when you pray, we pray that you seek him. Seek his face. Seek his hands. Don't seek what he can give you because it's just an automatic thing. I didn't ask for a lot of the things I have, but he gave them to me anyway. And I'm so thankful. One thing I did ask for is I did ask for a wonderful wife, and I do have that. So I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to share. Thank you, you guys. Thank you.
And I so appreciate it. We're just right on, brother, right on for tonight. So let's come use that measure of faith. We all have that measure. And also continue tonight. What we're going to do is continue steadfastly in what? Prayer. He told us we'll continue in prayer. So we'll just pull those lights down a little more and you all come and find a place to pray. Got a few minutes here to pray and you can go when you need to. But we're just glad you're here tonight for prayer. Come on. Remember always to give him praise before you ask him for anything. Spend a few minutes in worship and praise with him. Listen. You know, we're in this nice, comfortable place tonight. And things are good, at least for us, whether we've got aches and pains or sickness and disease. We got stuff too. But don't you just feel so bad for those poor people in Israel? Those hostages are still there. I mean, it's not anything you can even listen to on the news. I told Sarah the other night, I said, make sure those children don't hear the news because, well, you can hardly do that anyway, but the things that happen to those little kids and the women and the men are still over there, and you're like, how are they torturing those men? And there's women left and older women. You know, the devil is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're young or old or rich or poor. I mean, he'll just come after anybody. Oh, God. Wonderful Jesus. Come on, let's stand. Get ready to go. But let us pray for them. Has anyone just got a special prayer for them you want to pray? Oh, my, Kathy. Come here and pray over that, too. Okay, we'll just let her go first. See, her grandson's in college. And he's went in one of those liberal colleges, and they're all over right now, just anti-Semitic. And it could do much damage to America if something doesn't happen. All right, we've got to stand. So, Kathy, thank you for bringing that up.
Your Heavenly Father, you know what's going on in these colleges. And, Lord, these poor little Jewish children, well, adult children even, that are in colleges, they're being stalked, they're being humiliated, they're being mocked, they're being bullied. They're actually being physically attacked, and they're scared to death. They're scared to go in the library. They're scared to do anything. My grandson teaches at a very exclusive, total Jewish school, and I worry about him, Lord, but I know that you have all of those kids in your hands, and you're going to protect them, and you're going to watch over them, and I pray that none of them are watching TV right now or listening to the news, Lord. You need to block it from them. Lord, I don't know what to say about the colleges and what they're doing, and the administration at these colleges say, well, it's okay. You know, it depends on the subject matter. Wow. It's crazy. They're allowing this horrible, horrible prejudice, and they are calling for things to be against the Jewish people more, and it doesn't make sense. You know, obviously, they don't read your word. No. Obviously, they don't. No. Lord, please be with these children. Please be with them and give them peace. And let those other people open their eyes, the students that are calling them horrible names and they're picking on them and they're bullying on with them. Lord, you can protect them, and I know you are. But, Lord, do something to knock it off. They've called for the resignation of many of the presidents of these colleges, and they should. This is ridiculous. And, Lord, we know the time is close, and we know it's going to get worse before it gets better. But, Lord, please be with those poor little, even the college kids aren't little, but to me they are. But, you know, be with them in that school and let them know that they are safe because they're scared. They're scared to go in the library. They're scared to walk down the street. They're scared, and that's not right. Lord, please protect them. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name, and we know that you will do that. We thank you, Heavenly Father.
Amen. Continue to pray for them. Again, continue steadfastly in prayer. And, Father, we also pray for those people in Israel and on the Gaza Strip, those that are hidden down, hunkered down in tunnels, Lord, in a coal black tunnel. Lord, just no light. Total darkness, solitary confinement, some all by themselves, some bleeding, some hurt. And Lord, no doctors available. No, nothing for them. But Lord, we plead the blood over some baby, over some teenage girl or a teenage boy, over a dad, over a grandfather, a grandma, Lord, that's tucked away or in a place starving to death, a slow starvation. Father, we don't even know how to pray over this, but we will join our hearts tonight with people all over America and around the world. There are many that hate them, but there's many of us that love them. And so, Father, I ask you to somehow comfort them. You said your angels are ministering spirits. Could we have some of the angels come down from heaven and just go into those tunnels where they are? Go into the hidden places where they are. Go into the beds or the hard cement floor where they lay in the darkness, Lord. And may those angels take the fear away from them and the frightening experience and the bullies that come and bully them and tell them that you're never going to get out of here or you're going to get out in the morning and then they're lying to them. So, Lord, I just pray that somehow, Lord, comfort them. Not just this night, but comfort them for the duration until they get out. And I pray that you'll show Netanyahu what to do, show their generals what to do. And I pray that you will change the heart of the American administration, Lord, with Biden or whoever's running him, whoever's behind him, who's ever talking for him. Give them wisdom to say, no, we're going to get them out. We don't know how. Lord, it's got to be a horrible thing for them, but all we know, you've got the power. As Laverne Tripp said, you've got the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Again, thank you all so much for being here tonight. So God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, turn his countenance toward you, give you peace and blessing. In the name of the Lord. Somebody say amen if you love him tonight. God bless you. Thank you for being here in Jesus' name.